So with that said, we are beginning a new series this weekend, and it's called Ancestors of the King. This is kind of like our Christmas series. It's going to take us all the way up and include our Christmas Eve services. So as we get into this, I just got to ask you a question. Have you ever experienced a scenario like this, where there's a movie that you watched, you know, back in the day that you really liked, and you find out that somebody in your life has never seen this movie? You know, maybe it's a friend, maybe somebody in your family, and it's like, whoa, you've never seen this movie. You've got to see this movie. We are watching this movie. And so you sit them down, you put on the movie, and it's not quite what you remembered. Has anybody had this experience? Maybe the movie, like the comedy just doesn't translate, you know, to today. Or this happens, there's a scene in the movie that you forgot, right? And it's really awkward or maybe even inappropriate, and you're like, I am so sorry, I forgot that this was in the movie. I bet you've had an experience like this. I had something like this recently with my two oldest kids, okay? So what happened was, they were talking about a new alien movie, you know, like the scary alien monster thing, you know? And they were talking about, oh, it's supposed to be so good, it's supposed to be really scary. And I'm listening to them talk about it, and I realize they don't even know about the original Alien movie, right? Like way back in the 80s, Sigourney Weaver and all that. And I'm like, guys, you don't even know that this is a series. Like, you need to watch the original. Like, it's a classic. So we are watching this movie. So I sit them down. We're in the basement. You know, all the lights are off for maximum effect. I find this, you know, original Alien movie on Netflix or whatever. I put it on. And it was a train wreck. I mean, right from the beginning. Because today, movies start really fast, right? There's a car chase, there's explosions, your mind is racing, you're like, who's that person? Maybe they're the bad guy, you're trying to piece it all together. Well, movies didn't start like that in the 80s. Anybody remember this? I mean, just slow, like 40 minutes of nothing. There's like just a scene, and then there's movie credits. They put the credits at the beginning. Does anybody remember this? It's like executive producer. You're like, who cares? Start the movie. My kids are just dying. They're like, what is this? Dad, this is the worst. I'm like, hang in there. This is a classic. Hang in there. So we get through the forever long credit scene. The actual movie starts. And I'm like, I don't remember this. It's like, none of this. I'm like, oh, this is the wrong movie. This is Aliens, the second one. So I'm like, oh, hold on, guys, I'm sorry. And I stop it, and I go back to Netflix. I find the real one, and I put it on, and what happens? A forever long intro scene with names scrolling, and my kids will never watch a movie with me again. It really is a tragedy. Now, the reason I tell you all this is to say this right here. If you had a compelling story, I mean, if you had a great movie script, how would you start it? You'd start it with a bang, right? You'd be fast out of the gate. You'd have a great intro. So how is it that Matthew, in his biography of Jesus' life, what we call the Gospel of Matthew, how is it that Matthew, who has the most compelling story about the most compelling person who's ever lived, how is it that he starts it like this? This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it just goes on like this. I mean, he traces Jesus' lineage back 42 generations. I mean, it just goes and goes forever. It's like Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah. I mean, just on and on. We better turn that off before people start to fall asleep. I mean, why is it that Matthew, who has this incredible story, starts out with the ancestors of Jesus? And here's what I think the reason is. Matthew's original audience, they were the Jewish people. And for the Jewish people to start his gospel like this, I think it was the car chase. It was the explosions. It was the fast introduction. Because these people had been waiting for and expecting and hoping for the one, the Messiah, that God would send them to restore Israel. So I think this is the most compelling way that Matthew could begin his gospel. So what we're going to do over the next couple weeks is we're going to start every message in this genealogy. And we're going to use it like a springboard to jump back into the Old Testament and talk about some of the significant characters in Jesus' lineage and what they tell us about who he is, why he came, why he's so important. And I'm telling you, there is drama in this genealogy. There is scandal. I mean, there is life-changing truth in this genealogy, and I'm excited to share what I've been learning with all of you over the next couple of weeks. And so here's where we'll start. Again, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, and here we go, the son of Abraham. What does it mean that Jesus is the son of Abraham? And frankly, who cares? Why does it matter? And that's what we're going to dig into today. So we're going to spend our time all the way back at the beginning of the Bible where Abraham is first introduced to us. It's in the book of Genesis, and it's going to be a three-part conversation. In part one, we're just calling the promise. So if you want to follow along in your own Bible or if you got it on your phone or something, Genesis 12 is where we're going to spend most of our time. And here's how it begins. The Lord said to Abram, so first off, when we first meet Abraham, his name's not Abraham, it's Abram. And God will change his name later in the story. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. First time God shows up in Abraham's life, he's like, hey, you don't know me, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to leave. I need you to leave where you live. I need you to leave your family, your country. I mean, everything that you know, I need you to leave, and I need you to go somewhere else. Okay, where am I going? I'll tell you later. I mean, just imagine. This is a world before the internet, before phones, before maps. I mean, Abraham, he's never going to see this place again. He's never going to see these people again. This is such a huge ask that God is making of him. And it really comes down to two words, and these two words are really important for the whole conversation today. The two words are trust me. This is essentially what God is saying to Abraham. I need you to trust me. And this is what faith is. Trust me. This was the foundation of Abraham's relationship with God. This is the foundation of your relationship with God, with my relationship with God. It always comes down to God saying to us, trust me. You're not going to know everything that you want to know. You're not going to have a perfectly clear path. I need you to trust me. And so this is important. Hang on to this idea of trust is faith. This is foundational to the whole story. So Abraham, he actually listens, and I think just powerful words in the scriptures. It's just, and Abram went. I mean, that's just a faithful response, trusting God. But what happens next in the story is God gives Abraham a promise. And this is so significant. What God says here, I mean, it really lays the groundwork for really everything that's going to happen throughout the rest of the story in the Bible. And it's so significant, we often call it the Abrahamic covenant. And covenant is just a really strong word for like a legal promise. And so this is God making a big promise to Abraham. So let's just read the whole thing, and then we'll spend the rest of our time together just talking about a couple key ideas in this promise. So here's what God says. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God gives Abraham this massive promise, the Abrahamic covenant. Now, first thing I want to point out is God says to him, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to make you into this great people. And this idea of God creating a people, this is really significant. And again, back to this idea of trust me, trust me. Abraham, he's got no kids. He and his wife, currently not able to have kids. And so it's kind of like Abraham going, so how's that going to work? Trust me. And that's, again, just part of the story. But I will make you into this people, this great nation. Hang on to that idea. We'll come back to it. Now, looking at the words of this promise, there's a theme. I just wonder if you see it. There's a theme to this covenant. There's a word that's repeated five different times. I'll just highlight it for you. It's the word bless. You got bless, blessing, you will be blessed. So the theme of this promise is the idea of blessing. God is saying, I will bless you. Now that's great. That is wonderful. That's fantastic. Question, what does it mean to be blessed? What does blessing mean? I mean, we use this word in a different way, right? Somebody sneezes, ah, bless you. That's not what the biblical writers are talking about. That's not what's the promise that's being given to Abraham here. So what does it mean to bless in the biblical sense? Well, here's a definition. I believe blessing is essentially this. It's divine favor and provision. It's God's hand of favor upon a person and him giving that person everything that they need to, and this is key, to flourish. It's this idea of well-being, spiritually, physically, relationally, material. It's that God's hand would be on somebody's life so that they flourish as a person. That's what blessing is. And the first time that we see blessing in the scriptures is at the very beginning of the story with the Garden of Eden. So let me just show you this because this is also foundational for the conversation today. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God, here we go, blessed them. He blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So what you have in the Garden of Eden is God's hand, his favor upon these first humans, and he gives them his blessing, and they have everything that they need to flourish in life. That's the idea of blessing. Now, we know how the story went. It's like Adam and Eve, they rejected God's authority. This idea of trust me, trust me. God said to them, this one tree you can't eat. Just trust me, don't do that. And they didn't. They refused. They decided, you know what, I think we're better off without God. I think God's holding out on us. And so what happened is that the relationship between these humans and God was broken. The blessing was essentially broken. They were removed from the garden. And so instead of flourishing, they began to experience futility and pain and suffering and disease and even death. And so it's like the blessing of God sort of like disappeared. But now God shows up to Abraham and he says, I'm going to bless you. And so you see divine favor, the blessing of God return to the planet. So that's kind of the backstory. That's the backdrop. Matthew says, let me tell you about this Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So when Matthew points out that Jesus is the son of Abraham, why is this important? Well, it has everything to do with this idea of God's blessing. And so here it is. This is like the key idea of the whole thing. Jesus is the promised blessing. Jesus himself is the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to Abraham. You see, it's not just, okay, Jesus is the son of Abraham, like he can trace his ancestry all the way back to the person of Abraham. That is true, and it is important, but it's so much deeper than that. It's that God promised to bless, and that blessing is coming true. It's coming to fulfillment in the person of Jesus. Jesus himself is the promised blessing, and that's why Jesus says things like this in the Gospels. He says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. This idea of full life. I mean, yeah, sure, it means eternal life, as in you will live forever with God. But more than that, it's talking about the blessed life, the good life, the kind of life that you and I long for, the kind of life that you've been searching for, the fulfillment, the contentment, the peace, the joy that you want. Jesus is going, it's in me. It's found in me. Why? Because he is the promised blessing. So in other words, to be connected to Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus, is to have God's blessing on you. It's that God's divine favor is now coming to you through Jesus because of your connection to him. But as I say that, I just know that so many of us in this room and watching in other locations, you would just go, okay, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. Like Abraham, I trust in God. And I'm not feeling that. Like, I'm not experiencing that flourishing well-being that you're talking about. There's a disconnect. So, how is it that a person can trust God and have cancer? And how is it that a person can trust God and yet lose somebody that they love? How is it that somebody can trust God and yet God doesn't give them something that they really, really hoped for? What do you do with the disconnect? Okay, yeah, I trust God. I understand Jesus is the promised blessing and my connection to him. Now God's favor is on me, but I'm not feeling that. So how do we process this? Well, let me just take a moment and kind of talk about how I personally have processed this in my life. It's two big ideas. The first one is this. We don't live in Eden anymore. We don't live in Eden. We live in a broken, fallen planet. Every person, every system, every society is just riddled with sin and the effects of sin. And so we don't live in Eden anymore. But through a deep connection with Jesus, it is true that you can experience God's provision, that you can walk through the difficult, painful experiences of life with hope, with joy, and with peace. And my friends, that is real, and don't miss that. That is not to be discounted. We can live with God's favor and blessing, even outside of Eden. So the first idea is just, we don't live in Eden anymore. The second is this, Eden will return. And this is what's so amazing. Jesus is the son of Abraham, the blessed one. And listen, when he returns, that day when Christ returns, he will restore this broken planet. Sin and pain and death and disease will be erased. And let me just ask you to engage your imagination for a moment. What will it be like to experience God's divine favor and provision when sin no longer exists? How amazing will that be? And my friends, that is the hope that we have through Jesus, the son of Abraham, the one who all the blessing of God rests upon. So through him, you are blessed. But there's something about this blessing we got to talk about. Because through Jesus and a connection with him, you are blessed. But that blessing is not just for you. So this brings us to the second part of the conversation today, the calling. This blessing is not just for you. And I want to remind you now, as we go back to Abraham and God and this agreement that God made with him, how God promised to make Abraham into a people. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to make you into a people. And there's a purpose behind that, and we'll see that now. So again, that promise, I want to highlight a couple phrases here, and it's this. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And I just put these two phrases on the screen together so it really sinks in. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. There's something we got to understand, and it's this. God's plan always has been and always will be to bless a people so that through that people he can bless others. God's plan always has been, always will be, to bless a people through whom he can bless others. This was the deal with Adam and Eve. God blessed them, caused them to flourish so that through them they could bless all of creation. That was the idea. That's the idea here with Abraham. I'm going to make you into a people. I'm going to bless you so that through you I can bless all peoples. Remember when God said, hey, I need you to leave. So I'm not going to tell you where you're going, but I just need you to pack up everything. I need you to leave. And Abraham listened. Well, here's where God brought him. Map just showing the spot that says Israel. Back in Abraham's time, it was called Canaan, but God gave this land to the people Israel. And I want you to notice how it's smack in the middle of Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, the three great ancient Near East empires. Now, notice to the southeast of Israel, that's the desert. You can't go through there. And so God specifically puts Israel right at the crossroads between these three world empires. I mean, they are at the center of the ancient Near Eastern universe, meaning that all merchants, all pilgrims, all armies had to travel right through Israel. And what God was doing is he was creating a special people that he would bless that would reflect him, that when other people came into contact with Israel, they might get a taste of the one true God, that they might just get this experience of who God is and what he is like. You see, God's plan always has been, always will be, to bless a people through whom he can bless others. Now, Matthew, he says in his genealogy, look, I need you to understand, Jesus is the Messiah, the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. And what does that mean? Well, one of the things that God has done through Jesus is create a people. And that is us, the church, the followers of Jesus together. God's plan always has been and always will be to bless a people through whom he can bless others. And so we are a blessed people that God wants to bless others through. And that is why we picked the Christmas project that we did. Because the blessing that God has for us is not just for us. You know, Pastor Jeff likes to say, blessing in, blessing out. And that's the idea. We want to bless our community by serving and loving people in our city. And so this is true for us corporately as the church. And it's also true for you individually. And it's true for me individually as a Jesus follower. And so I want you to hear these words that God spoke to Abraham, but I want you to hear them as if God is speaking directly to you. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And I just wonder, how has God blessed you? And how might he want to use you to bless others? So how has God blessed you? I wonder if he's blessed you financially, through your career, through investments, maybe through an inheritance. Hear these words. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. I wonder how God wants to use the way that he has blessed you to bless the people around you. I wonder if God has blessed you with a strong and healthy marriage. Maybe it wasn't always that way, but right now you have a healthy marriage. Hear these words. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. I just wonder how God might want to use your marriage to encourage and bless other marriages around you. Did you know that we have a marriage mentoring ministry? And that you could be a part of that, and God could use your marriage to encourage and bless other marriages. Or how about this one? Maybe God has blessed your kitchen. It's kind of weird to say, but let's be real. The food that comes out of your kitchen, it is blessed, okay? And if you're wondering, is my kitchen blessed? I would ask you, what were you asked to bring to Thanksgiving dinner? Yeah, just if you could pick up a bag of salad, that'd be great. While you're there, you know those cans, the can of cranberry sauce, grab one of those. Maybe not. You probably know if your kitchen is blessed or not. Hear these words. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. I just wonder how God might want to use this way that he has blessed you to encourage and bless people around you. Or, you know, just a few minutes ago, we talked about how God's provision and his blessing can enable us to experience hope and joy and peace in the darkest of circumstances, and maybe that's you. You went through some stuff, but God blessed you with his presence, and you were able to walk through that time with a measure of hope and peace and joy. Hear these words: I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And just know there are people in this church, there are people in your life who are struggling and suffering in the same ways that you did. And what if God desires to use you to encourage and bless them through sharing your story, through walking with them? The big idea is that God always has been, always will be creating a people that he wants to bless so that he can bless others through them. And my friends, that is us. Now, there's something very specific, very particular about this blessing that God has given us as the church that we need to drill down into. And so the third part of the conversation, as we head back to Abraham, God's promise to him, part three is the gospel. So I'm going to read his promise again. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And here we go. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on the earth, every single people group, every ethnic group, Abraham, I'm going to bless all of them through you. And if I'm Abraham, I'm going, how are you going to do that? This is just one guy. And even after God makes makes him into a people, the people of Israel, I mean, they're still just situated in one part of the world. So how is God going to bless all the peoples across the whole globe through this promise? And the answer is found in Matthew's genealogy, where he says, Jesus is the Messiah, the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. Remember, Jesus is the promised blessing. It all falls on him. It's through Jesus that God is going to bless all the peoples of the world. In Matthew, he gives us clues on how this is going to work. Because the intentional way that he writes his gospel, he shows us how God is blessing all people through Jesus. He gives us two stories involving Roman soldiers. Let me just blast through these two stories real quick. The first one involves an officer, a Roman centurion. He comes to Jesus. He's got a servant that he cares about that's very sick. And he asks Jesus, can you heal my servant? And Jesus says, yes. Should we go to your house? I can heal him. And the guy goes, no. No, you don't need to come to my house. Just say the word. Just say the word and he will be healed. And Jesus, he's floored by the level of this guy's faith, his trust. And this is what Jesus says. He's, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in all Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Matthew is showing how through Jesus, people from all over, they're going to come to the table of Abraham, and they're going to experience the blessing of God through Jesus. That's the first story involving a Roman soldier. The second one, again, a Roman centurion, an officer, and this one takes place at the crucifixion of Jesus. As Jesus is pouring out his life on that Roman cross, there is an officer whose job it is to oversee the execution. And so he sees all of it. He watches as darkness falls at noon as if it were the dead of night. He feels in his feet the earthquake that strikes. He watches how Jesus gives his life. And look at how Matthew records this scene. When the centurion and those around him who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. This Roman, this outsider, this non-Jewish guy, one of all the peoples of the world, he's like, this was not an ordinary man. This is the Son of God. See, here's the deal. Through Jesus, God is blessing all people. And specifically, through the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus, God will bless all people. Because here it is, anyone who puts their trust, that's our word again, puts their trust in what Jesus accomplished at the cross, anyone can receive the blessing of God. Can be blessed with forgiveness. Can be blessed with the removal of sins. Can be blessed with a restored friendship with the Creator. And can be blessed with this forever with God on a restored planet Earth, Eden, returning. Anyone who puts their trust in Jesus can receive the blessing of God, because God is blessing all peoples through the Son of Abraham. Now, there's something I want to say to you regarding this. God's promise, all peoples will be blessed. I need you to know, all peoples, that means you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. All peoples, that includes you. You can receive the blessing of God if you put your trust in what Jesus accomplished through you, for you through the cross. The second thing I want to say to you is this. All peoples, that includes them. And by that, I mean people in your life who don't know Jesus. Your sister-in-law. That person that you share a desk with at work. Classmate, teammate. All peoples means them. And I just wonder, who needs to hear about this blessing that God has given us, the gospel of Jesus? And let me give you just a really specific challenge and encouragement around this. A couple weekends from now, Christmas Eve services. And there's a reason that we're a little crazy this year. We're doing services on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We're doing a lot of them, 27 services in total. And it's like, why in the world would you do that? You're thinking, looking at me, why do you want to preach that many times? So that you can invite your friends, so that you can invite your family. This would be a perfect opportunity to invite somebody to hear about God, how God wants to bless them through the Son of Abraham. So I would just encourage you, prayerfully consider who you might be able to invite to one of our Christmas Eve services. Just a great opportunity. Because again, God has blessed us so that we can bless others. So this is our Christmas series, Ancestors of the King. We're going to spend a couple weeks just using Matthew's genealogy to springboard off into the Old Testament and explore some of these important people in the lineage of Jesus. And my hope for this series is that what we talk about here, what we learn here, that would really shape how we walk through this Christmas season. Because Jesus, yes, he was born as a baby boy, but he was born as the Son of Abraham. And all the blessing of God is upon him in a connection with Jesus. That means that you are blessed. But God said, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. And the greatest blessing that God has given us is the gospel of Jesus himself. So next weekend, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David. What's that about? Why does that matter? And what does that have to say about us? That's what we're going to explore. Hope you're able to join us next weekend. So let me pray for you, and then we'll close. Heavenly Father, we just pause and recognize that you gave Abraham a promise thousands of years ago, and you kept your word. And you gave your son. And we can be blessed through your son, Jesus. God, you are just incredible. And we're so grateful for who you are and that you would share yourself with us. And so we thank you and we bless you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we'll see you next weekend.